Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Q2 FY23 earnings conference call of ZF Commercial Vehicle Control Systems India Limited, hosted by Batlivala & Karani Securities India Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Annamalai Jayaraj from Batlivala & Karani Securities India Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us today, and welcome to ZF Commercial Vehicle Control Systems Limited quarterly earnings conference call. The second quarter earnings and half-year results for FY 2022-23 will shortly be presented by the management team of ZF Commercial Vehicle Systems India Limited, formerly known as RAPCO India Limited. Your host this morning from ZF Commercial Vehicle Control Systems India Limited are Mr. P. Kaniappan, Managing Director, and Mr. R. Rajagopal Sastry, CFO, as well as M. Muthulakshmi, Company Secretary. I'll now hand over the call to Mr. P. Kaniappan, who will provide you with further insights into the results. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Jayaraj. I warmly welcome you all to ZF Commercial Vehicle Control Systems India Limited second quarter results and half-yearly performance for financial year 2022-23. Certain forward-looking statements that we will make today are based on management's good faith expectations and beliefs concerning future developments. As you know, actual results may differ materially from these expectations because of many factors. ZF Commercial Vehicle Control Systems India Limited's results for the quarter ending September 30, 2022 were published on November 4, 2022. They are available on the www.zf.com website within the ZF CV India Investor Relations section. We hope that you have had an opportunity to go through them. A transcript and recorded audio of this call will also be made available on www.zf.com under the ZF CV India Investor Relations section. Let me begin with a business update. Industry and economic update. Let me share a few key macroeconomic aspects that are relevant to our industry and GDP growth. The projections for India's economic growth, represented by GDP, have been moderated to 7.3% source RBI from an earlier projection of 8.7%. While this is still the strongest growth among various other economies of the world, India is also dealing with high inflation caused by rising global energy and food prices. After moderating between May and July, inflation measured by the Consumer Price Index, CPI, rose in September to 7.41%. The index of industrial production in July 2022 grew by 2.4% compared with 12.7% the previous month. As you will know, the financial year ending March 2022 witnessed a recovery of commercial vehicle production. It grew by 26% compared with the financial year ending March 2021, which was impacted by COVID. Medium and heavy commercial vehicle grew by 50%, while light commercial vehicle was up 15% and buses increased by 68%. The trailer segment, the adoption of new technologies like electronic braking system and intelligent trailer program, saw penetration of over 5%, and migration to trailer lift axle systems for increased payload and improved fuel efficiency. Growth in the passenger commercial vehicle category, which experienced a sharper pandemic impact due to travel restrictions and the suspension of schools and office commutes, will also aid growth. This is despite its smaller share of below 15% of overall CV volume before the pandemic. A rapid recovery in India's economic activity levels after the pandemic shock and the government's planned increase in infrastructure spending will help sustain an improvement in fleet utilization rates, supporting freight economies for operators. This should support the revival of the replacement cycle, notwithstanding pressure from high inflation and a rise in borrowing rates since the start of the Russia-Ukraine conflict. Commercial vehicle production in the second quarter of financial year 2022-23 was 81,425 units compared to 54,103 units in the same period of the previous year. This represents a growth of 50.5%. This was largely driven by increased recovery momentum in the commercial vehicle industry as a result of replacement demand, the government's infrastructure push, and new segment offerings. Intermediate and light commercial vehicle growth due to e-commerce, intra-city last mile connectivity, and increase in penetration of CNG and LNG vehicles. Trailer growth arising from greater demand in the car carrier, e-commerce, cement industry, and export segment. Against this vehicle penetration backdrop, vehicle production backdrop, we registered OE sales in Q2 of INR 348.8 crores as against INR 226.6 crore in previous year, a growth of 53.9%. Some of the elements which explain our growth story are penetration of telematics and heavy-duty trucks for a key customer, delivery of Gen 2.0 e-compressor for some of our e-mobility customers, good growth and technology adoption in the trailer segment due to better road infra and expressways, launch of advanced technology products in the lift axle segment, application of hill start aid in more of our customers' vehicle models, securing raw material price increase from OEMs. We are further strengthening our position in the advanced technology area, digital business, and in the EV domain. Following the recent global launch of ZF's new Scalar digital fleet orchestration platform, an Indian OEM has already onboarded this platform with the features it requires. We are building up our Scalar platform to include additional capabilities for the Indian market. As we progress, we see a significant expansion of digital systems into commercial vehicles, aided by the adoption of AIS 140, Automotive Industry Standard 140, which mandates all passenger carrying commercial vehicles to be fitted with the tracking system. We see 100% connectivity benefiting us through enhanced traffic management and better e-toll solutions. We are gaining acceptance of our AIS 140 FMS device and solution. Enhancing vehicle uptime and reducing the total cost of ownership are key differentiators increasingly sought by fleet operators. This will help fuel the significant spread of connectivity technologies and migration towards smarter and more efficient vehicles. Now, turning to our aftermarket performance, the company achieved 21.5% growth in Q2 2023 versus Q2 21-22 and 40% growth when compared to H1 FY22. Various initiatives driven by management are helping us in consolidating our position in the aftermarket space. We are mainly focusing on the retrofitment of advanced technology products in the aftermarket space to improve the safety, efficiency and operating margins of the fleet. Let's look at our exports. Export growth was flat in the quarter due to global shortages of semiconductor components, sea freight delays due to COVID lockdowns in China, and low container availability, which remains at a critical level. Thus, growth was subdued at 6.1% during the quarter. A few initiatives were implemented to expand the capacity, including key capacity actions on the car compressor and the supply of compressor assemblies to DAF, double diaphragm spring brake actuator line 5, which is an additional facility to improve capacity, machining line augmentation, capacity augmentation, anticipatory actions for expected increases in Q4 2022-23. However, the export of services registered a growth of 33.6% in Q2 of FY23 compared with the same period in the previous financial year. Let me brief you on a few further important business updates, especially our e-mobility focus. We have secured business with various customers representing a major portion of our e-mobility plans for 2023 and beyond to sell our Gen 2.0 electric compressor. We are happy that we have already passed the startup production stage for some key customers. Furthermore, we have also received business nominations from a number of other customers. Our electronic braking system have received nominations for the e-electric vehicle platforms of major customers. Many are converting from the conventional ABS to the more advanced feature-rich EBS for the electric vehicles. Engineering. The engineers who provide engineering services to the global ZF CVS division on software product development and product engineering are set to move to a new location. This new location is built to stringent ZF standards, enabling flexibility and enhanced productivity. The facilities are housed in the DLF campus in Porur, Chennai. Around 425 engineers will move to the new location. On 4th of November, the new site was formally inaugurated. The state-of-the-art new global facility will have a total capacity for approximately 840 people, enabling expansion to support growth in the years ahead. Manufacturing facilities at Oragadam. We are happy that following the completion of all internal and external approvals, construction of the first phase of our factory in Oragadam is underway. It is expected to be completed by the third quarter of the next financial year. We will keep you updated on the progress in future calls. Under the PLI, under the application made under the Production Linked Incentive PLI scheme for the auto sector, the company has been selected as an eligible auto component manufacturer to receive benefits from the scheme along with its subsidiary. We are happy to report that we have made our quarterly filings in time and are monitoring the progress of our committed investments. We will continue to provide updates on the progress made. CSR outreach. At ZF Commercial Vehicle Control Systems India Limited, we strive to be a responsible corporate citizen and make a positive impact through our CSR initiatives. Our CSR initiatives are based on four tenets: improving road safety, enhancing the quality of life of neighboring communities, contributing towards environmental sustainability, and skill development. Over the years, our contribution to society has touched thousands of lives in several ways and benefited a wide range of stakeholders. The scope of our initiatives has now been expanded to make a positive difference to even more of our stakeholders. Our road safety initiatives align with ZF's vision for zero accidents and zero emission, and the Government of India's Vision Zero initiative that addresses challenges around the road traffic fatalities. Through the structured road safety initiatives, 2,150 drivers of hazardous cargo carriers across oil marketing companies were trained on road safety. Training camps were conducted in 31 cities across India. Concurrent medical camps for drivers and 2,000 vehicle checkups were also conducted to determine vehicle and operator fitness. Holistic community development encompasses a spectrum of initiatives ranging from access to quality healthcare to infrastructure upgrading. We have contributed medical equipment to upgrade the infrastructure of the operating rooms and the labor room at ESA Hospital, Ayanavaram, by giving patient transfer hydraulic stretchers and modern labor carts. Digitalization plays a crucial role in upskilling youngsters and increasing the employment rate in India. On that note, we have made significant strides in setting up a computer lab at Anjur Government High School near our Mahindra World City plant. We have contributed 30 computers, accompanying furniture and infrastructure. We also trained around 200 students and held 5 conferences at the various centers of excellence established in collaboration with education institutions. The company has even trained professors on the IoT from an industry perspective. As part of the important pillar of our CSR activity towards environmental sustainability, We have planted over 100 saplings at Women's ITI near our Ambattur facility. Sorry, 1,000 saplings at Women's ITI near our Ambattur factory. More than 180 employees, including their families, participated in this initiative. This plantation drive was conducted in association with the Greater Chennai Corporation as part of the Singara Chennai 2.0 initiative. Awards and recognition. Our employees won the second prize in the ACMA Auto Component Manufacturing Association Southern Region Quality Sector Competition, first prize in the ACMA Eastern Region QCC Competition, and third prize in the ACMA National Level QC Circle Competition. Also, we landed the first prize in the CII National Lean Competition and Gold Awards in QCFI, Tamil Nadu State Level QCC Competition. The company also received an appreciation letter from the GST Department for training 60 GST trainee officers who visited our Ambattur plant as part of field training. The officers rated their experience as excellent in their feedback. Our employees continued to demonstrate high levels of engagement and participated in various external QC Circle and POPIOK competitions, as well as winning numerous awards across several categories in this second quarter of the fiscal. I'm happy to share that in this quarter, our teams won a total of 11 awards, both at national and regional level, in the various competitions organized by the CII, ACMA, and QCFI. And now moving on to our financial performance for the quarter. For your ease of reference, the results were made public at 6 p.m. on 4th of November 2022. I hope you have had a chance to go through them. Commercial vehicle production registered a growth of 50.5% over the same quarter in the previous year. We outperformed by 3.4% this quarter. Our sales to OEMs in this quarter was 348.8 crores, and this is 53.9% higher than the previous corresponding quarter. Overall strength in demand ensured that our aftermarket sales were up 21.5% quarter on quarter to 102.8 crores. Exports resulted in an income of 262.7 crores in Q2 of financial year 2022-23. Our engineering and other services continue to provide very strong value to our customers across the group. The growth in service income is a healthy 33.6% quarter on quarter. The quarter is continuing to witness inflationary pressures. While there is a pause in some commodities, it continues for other commodities. We have taken steps to manage our profitability and we see traction in the steps taken. For the quarter ending 30th September 2022, we achieved a PBT of rupees 90.3 crores, which is 12.6% on sales. This is an improvement of 4.6% as a percentage of sales and a 101% improvement in absolute terms. We have improved our profitability by 1% sequentially. We continue to carefully review the environment and our performance to consider further opportunities for actions to mitigate ongoing commodity inflation. This is important as we see softening of commodity prices going forward. Thank you. We now welcome your questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. You may press star and one to ask a question. We have the first question from the line of Vimal Gohil from Alchemy Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. I hope I'm audible.
Yes, please proceed.
Yeah, sir, my first question is on AIS 140. You spoke about a few products over there. Just wanted to know what has been the progress there. How many have we added? Almost all the Indian OEMs for their, this mandated products that need to be installed in their vehicles. So what is the progress there, and if you can just talk about what are the various products that you know will go into these which are mandated as per this government mandate. And the second one is on profitability. While we have improved our profitability, we understand the commodity pressures as well. But what is our desired level of profitability where we will be comfortable going forward?
Yeah, thank you. So AIS-140 is actually it's a mandate. In basically, it requires that you should have a tracking devices and a push button in case of emergency. People can press the push button. From there, the signal will go to the government control center, etc. So it's essentially meant for passenger safety. So this has been mandated now, all the passenger carrying vehicles. So for us, it's largely related to the bus segment. So, you know, we are actually partnering with one of the OEMs. And then that OEM has decided to fit you know, the FMS solution or telematics in the system from August 2020. So now, thereafter, we are only steadily increasing our the various functionalities and the robustness of the solution, and again partnering with them, and then see how this will be benefiting the fleets ultimately in the market. So coming to AIS-140, so we are actually our AIS-140 is a part of this you know, this offering that we give. It calls for registering at a national level or empaneling ourselves as a service provider, because here the work involves you know, registering those vehicles in various states, and you know, it gets into the portal, wagon portal, and all those things. And then of course we do a service in the field for these vehicles. So this is the business model that we have. For that, we get a subscription paid. Our focus is to first get empaneled at a national level. That, you know, as and when every state government is coming out with a requirement, because it also, each state has its own requirement, so we are trying to make sure that part, you know, we complete and ensure that we provide the service to all the fleet. Because here it's not required, it's not that you have to only provide for that supply customer with whom you are partnering. You have a huge aftermarket opportunity as well. Because if you are an empaneled player nationally, and if your service is good, you can actually fit it in the field as well for many, many players. So this is a possibility. But right now we are only focusing on the partnering with the OEM and reaching out to the market and providing the service to them. Because the solution that we are offering is not only the basic AIS-140, but we provide much more services. So it's a little expensive. So we are providing the service, but we don't compete with a small player in the market who only plays the AIS-140. That's the current thing. So on an average, we are now overall we are about 4,000 to 5,000 vehicles we are adding to our platform. Today we have about 1,07,000 vehicles are connected to us in our platform, of which, of course, initially we started the business with a startup in India, but now we have a much more robust global solution, global platform, which we call it a Scalar. So almost 40,000 of this 107,000 vehicles are now in our platform, global platform. More and more we are trying to attack, you know, connect to that. That provides many opportunities for those fleets or those vehicles that are connected to avail the global services. Again, there are possibilities for us to upskill, upsell the you know, subscription. So on an average, probably we do on the AIS-140 to the tune of the bus production alone, maybe around 500 or 1,000 buses out of the 5,000 connections every month. I hope that clarifies the point. So AIS-140 is one part of the overall service that we provide, and we are limiting ourselves to that OEM, because our service is more expensive. Our solution is more expensive than other low-cost player, because we are providing more services than the AIS 140 itself, like that, you know. So right, that's the way, because we want to position ourselves as a technology player and a high-end player in the market. On the profitability, as I've been saying in even our earlier earnings call, we at least want to go back to our earlier position. So if you see, we have been steadily improving. We are taking many actions to improve our margin. And now because the commodity inflation also to some extent softening in commodities like aluminium, to some extent on steel as well. It's also favoring. There's a stability in the business as well. Our plan is to get back to our earlier position on the profit, on the margin side.
That would be 14-15%, I would imagine.
Yeah, that's right.
Got it. And the last question was on, if you can just talk about some of you've always spoken about some of the other products like hill hold or the ECUs, which probably help the vehicle with better control, especially the heavy commercial vehicles on steep roads. What has been the traction there over the past one year? What has been the acceptance levels by the OEMs?
Yeah. One important trend that we see is the adaptation of advanced technologies in the vehicles now. Because, you know, after the BS6, now the customers are looking at how to differentiate many of them. So technologies have become a differentiator. So if you, segment-wise, if you look at it in the truck segment, we are moving into in the lift axle solutions. If you see, you know, very intelligent lift axle solutions, which means when the truck is playing, without load, for example, you can actually lift one axle so that the tire life can be saved. And this is linked to, you know, again, now we have the vehicles have certain intelligence, so it will decide when to lift, etc. So we have already in the last few months, we've also expanded that from a single tire to twin tire type of environment as well. So we have launched this product with one of the global players, the global customers in India, and our focus is to extend it to other customers going forward. This is essentially again done in a heavy duty segment. Number one. Number two, you know, you also might be aware that India is going for the electronic stability control mandate from April 2023. So our focus is to get a strong position with Indian all OEMs and release, you know, do the homologation for all the vehicles, support them and make them ready for the mandate. So again, we have been quite successful in securing a good portion of that opportunity, because initially it comes with only bus segment. We expect that may be followed to the truck segment in the next 1 or 2 years. Again, it's a good opportunity. We are very well positioned and ready to, you know, launch the product. Customers are ready. The next changes, in the connectivity area, we are now going to have soon. We'll be releasing our FOTA. FOTA is firmware over the air update, meaning you can like our mobile, you know, it gets over the air update. So we are working on this, and soon we will be launching our FOTA possibility, which will help us to really again differentiate ourselves in the market. On the electric domain, in the safety side itself, the next level is advanced driver assistance systems. We have used, with the support of our global colleagues, again, we are now launching this product. Some OEMs have actually made a launch of the ADAS solution. we expect this to really come into the market in the next 1 or 2 years progressively from, you know, from the OEMs. That involves even the advanced emergency braking systems. You know, some of the passenger cars are now today having that feature, alert system first and then even a full braking system. So those things we are now working with all OEMs, and then progressively those functionalities will come to the market. On the EV, as I have read out that we have secured a stronger position on the electric compressor. So we have also convinced the customers to go for electronic braking system, which is much more applicable and relevant for the electric vehicles because of its intelligence to efficiently use the energy, maybe by regeneration or recuperation, thereby reducing the load on the battery systems. So these are some of the technologies. So market is now rapidly adapting, working towards really launching these products. So we are well positioned to support the customers, and probably next 1 or 2 years, this will be the major products in the market.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much, and all the very best. I'll fall back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star and one now. We have the next question from the line of Mukesh Saraf from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, and thank you for the opportunity. My first question is, you know, to the same point that, you know, was earlier asked regarding margins. So last time around, you were mentioning that we haven't yet taken the entire price, the price pass-through yet with many customers, and negotiations are going on. So just getting trying to get a sense of where are we in that process? Have we been able to now get most of those pass-throughs, or is there still a backlog there?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mukesh. Actually, we have secured, by and large, the
okay.
Material cost impact. We have about 1 quarter type of time lag, but otherwise we have secured up to that point on the commodity inflation.
Okay, got it. And sir, on exports, we've seen a single digit kind of growth, 5-6% growth YOY. Given that you have exposure to both Europe and US, can you give us some sense on the environment over there? There are a lot of talks about recession, etc. So could you tell us how is your order book looking like? Are your customers scaling back on production, or is it just a chip shortage that is right now impacting?
Yeah, thank you. So actually, it's in a way it's mixed. Number one, the demand situation is quite strong in the passenger car segment. We are supplying supply unit for one of the important global passenger car OEM.
Sure.
But the demand is steeply increasing. It's a luxury segment, so demand is steeply increasing, and we are actually building the capacity. We used to supply, let's say, around 1,000 numbers per day by December, sometime last year December. Now we are in the range of 1,500. So that is actually an increase in that segment. On the other hand, in the in certain products like our actuators, those type of products, there's a stock correction going on, because it's an inventory correction temporarily we had to resort to because of our global organization.
Okay.
We wanted to straighten that. So that is, but otherwise I would say the demand is quite strong as of now. Chip shortage is affecting a small segment of now. It used to be a major issue, but now
sure.
Some of the valves that we are producing here for other markets, there's a chip shortage. In a way, still we are in allocation mode, but its impact is comparatively less. And the indications are at least for the next 6 months or up to the first half of next year, and the demand is expected to be strong. We have to wait and watch thereafter. But as such, there is no immediate impact on our demand in the short term.
Right. Understood, sir. And sir, on the third one is on the PLI scheme. Could you give us some understanding on how the incentive will work? How will it be calculated? Because as we understand, you will have to have certain production targets as well for each of the years for the next 5 years. So what percentage of that will be the actual incentive? How would that work, sir, if you could just give us a broad sense?
Yeah, I will request our CFO, Mr. Raja, to answer that.
Sure.
Mr. Mukesh, the PLI works as for the products which are categorized within the advanced automotive products, you get an incentive of 8% to 13% for the growth in sales over the base year. And if the product belongs to the e-mobility sector, there are certain products which are categorized as those, the incentive can go up to 18%. Now, in our case, against the base year of 2021, we are seeing that we are meeting or even exceeding our targets as far as the sales is concerned. But we are also closely monitoring our investments because there is certain long lead time which takes for, because the PLI demands that it's not to be work in progress, it has to be capitalized. So we are working on the investment aspect also. We will be updating as and when we are making progress on the investments and meet the threshold of the 250 crores, and that's when we will start getting our incentives or even when we meet our committed targets. So we still are a bit away from our financial year 2022-23 target as far as the investments are concerned, but we are pretty much ahead as far as the sales target is concerned. But we'll keep the team posted as and when we make more progress on that.
And so this 8 to 18% will be based on how well you achieve the production versus your own stated targets. So I mean, will you be at the bottom end of it?
The way PLI is designed is if for a selected product on the base year you had 100 and if you have 110 for the current year, you will get 8 to 18% of the 10%.
Yeah. So the percentage, how is it decided, sir? The 8 to 18, how? I mean, what will you get? Will it be 8 or will it be 18?
So there are some calculations. If you are exceeding by 10%, it is 8. If you are exceeding by 20, it is 12. It progressively goes up based on the level of increase of your sale versus the base year. So it is better the sale, bigger the incentive.
Got it, sir. Right, sir. Thank you so much. I'll get back in with you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Sonal Gupta from L&T Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my question. Good morning, sir. Just on the export side, could you give us a sense of how much is euro-denominated versus dollar-denominated?
We have a almost equal mix, euro versus dollar, euro and dollar.
So then the currencies for this quarter would be approximately offsetting, right? Then we should not have...
From an export receivables, foreign exchange impact perspective, we are neutral.
No, I was just trying to understand like the rupee exports versus the underlying exports, to calculate the constant currency growth, that's what I was trying to understand. And secondly, could you sort of give us a sense in terms of exports, what is the split between passenger vehicles versus the commercial vehicles?
As we just said, we do sell one product for passenger car. So roughly the mix is about 15% to pass car and about 85% to commercial vehicles.
Got it, sir. Got it. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Harsh Kemawat. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Good morning. Thanks for taking my question. My first question was what was the revenue mix for the second quarter?
Sorry, can you say it again? We are not able to hear you.
So I just wanted to ask, what was the revenue mix for quarter 2, FY23?
Revenue mix, we had 342 crores coming from, just give me a moment, I'll give you the exact number.
Yes, sir.
So we have 348.8 crores coming from OEM, 102.8 coming from aftermarket, and 262.6 coming from exports. I think we just also mentioned it in our...
Okay. Thank you. And so I just wanted to ask, so what is the adoption rate of the newer products, and what kind of content increase are we looking at from each segment, HGV, buses, passenger cars, etc.?
No, I can tell you some on specific few products what is the content increase. And these products, many of them, we have just, we are entering into the market, except ESC, which is coming through a mandate for all the buses of certain class. Most other things, it's essentially, I would say, for example, I talked about electric compressor. Hmm. Electric compressor, the content itself is, typically in the order of about 1,000 euro per electric compressor. But then, the size market is only electric vehicles. Electric vehicles, we expect probably next year about 7,000 buses may be produced. The volume is less, but the content is quite high. Same case with electronic braking system. Typically, we sell an ABS for about 15,000 rupees. You can, if you go to EBS, you probably in the range of 65,000 rupees. On electronic stability control, probably around a delta of about 20,000 on the basic systems. So, ESC will be a mandated thing for the bus segment. EBS is only for the EV domain. So, for a EV bus, I said about 1,000 euro roughly about 80,000 rupees for the E compressor, and let's say another 65,000 rupees for a EBS. Also, you need to have a ESC there, so about 35,000. So that's the kind of size. So our positioning is in the EV. We are now focusing and making sure we get a stronger position as the market, more and more EV vehicles come in. We see our content will steeply increase. On the other hand, if you look at a lift axle control system, which we're actually putting it for the higher tonnage vehicles, above 48 ton or 55 ton type of vehicles, if it's a single axle, not only at 48, maybe even at level of, from 42 tonner, etc. If you look at single tire, a lift axle is of the order of about, let's say, 5,500 rupees, and twin axle maybe around 15,000 rupees. So typically, but there the application is, all the vehicles that the customers produce in that range, generally they fit it. So it's very difficult to give you an overall picture, but most of these products are high content products. And the volume increases, of course, when we localize more and more, the delta may slightly come down, but today that's the situation.
Okay, understood, sir. So basically, these products will be more towards the EV segment and will be lesser adopted in the ICE portfolio, correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, understood, sir. And sir, under the PLI scheme, so I believe that the normal mandate that the government has given is that your content in the vehicle should be around 50% localized. So what is our current localization levels for these EV components?
Actually, to avail certain, with the customers have to, for each product there is a specific local value content or domestic value addition. And we normally meet at about 45%, I think, is the initial requirement. Most of the product, if it is fitted on the government tender program, you need to meet the standard. So by and large, we meet it with a local localization. And without that, generally you don't get into that business.
Okay. Understood. Thank you so much for that. And the last question, I'll just end it on a basic bookkeeping question. So what is the CAPEX guidance for this year and the next year?
So we are continuing to be in the range of 100 crores for this year, and you will see the capitalization of the new factory coming up next year, which will, that in itself is another 150 crores over the 100 crores which you see this year, which we have in a normal factory.
Okay. Understood, sir. Thank you so much, sir. I'll just get back in the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Lakshmi Narayanan from Tunga Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So if I look at your services business, which comprises software services, R&D services, and other business support services, right? And you mentioned that there is growth in this segment. And I see that there is a center that was inaugurated in Hyderabad also a couple of months back or so. So from an organization point of view, how do you see the scale up of this particular thing and whether it is going to be margin accretive for our overall business?
So from the perspective, Mr. Lakshmanarayan, from the perspective of the expansion you saw in Hyderabad, ZF in India has got various entities, and the Hyderabad expansion belongs to ZF India Private Limited, which is of the existing entity in India already.
Ours is actually, in Chennai, and we have really moved to a new location, that is DLF, from the RMZ location, because we found that the current space is not adequate. So in the new location, we have 870 seats. So we are there's a clarity that we may progressively increase the numbers in the engineering, the software team. And today, close to about 500, so it will go to 870 numbers. So that's why we have opened a new site. So this service will continue to increase, and it will be part of this. Part of this listed entity. In addition, we also have the global business services or a back office for there. We are doing a lot of IT innovation, robotic process automation, such things we do for global requirements. There also it is increasing. The services continue to be increasing. If you see in the last few years, few quarters, we have been growing at about 30% year on at a CAGR of around, I would say 25 to 30%. Our view is this may continue at that rate. And you asked a question on the margin side. Maybe you can clarify. I couldn't understand that question.
Whether from a margin point of view, these services are on a cost plus basis, or you actually get margins as good as selling to OEs and exports, right? So from a margin, I see that the growth of these services have been quite steep, that it's almost it's almost as one third of these past revenues, right? So that's the question in terms of how margin accretive or it is dilutive for our overall business.
Yeah. So Raja,
the margin for the service business are based on a cost plus, as you just mentioned. It's based on the transfer pricing model, and there is no straightforward answer to say whether they are accretive to or they would dilute the margin percentage. But what I can definitely, because that will not be a detail which I'll be allowed to share. However, I can say that they are, as you would see, they expand on the overall quantum of margins, definitely on absolute terms. And they also aid in better absorption of the overall overheads. That's what I can right now commit.
Got it. The second question is that from what are the three important strategic areas for you for looking between now and 2027 or so, right? If you can just outline in terms of the OE business as well as exports, what are the couple of key initiatives or thoughts you have if you look at 5 years hence?
Yeah. we believe, of course, the commercial vehicle industry will continue to grow. Of course, it's anybody's guess, but with Indian economy growing, and this will definitely grow. So, with the technology side, you know, our main focus is to really increase our content. Content increase is largely driven by, this business is more and more on the braking and the autonomous driving area. Also, now we have added the digital business, and EV. So autonomous, connected, electric. You know, these are the three segments we will be playing a key role in India for Indian customers. Export, I will come back. So right now we have secured a very strong position in the braking side of the business, we believe few regulations will come in this segment, because safety is largely driven through regulation. First is ESC. I just spoke about it. So from April 2023, ESC for all the buses, meaning above, I think there is a certain class M3 buses. Even before the regulations for the truck segment, some of the Indian OEMs are getting ready to launch ESC for the truck segment as well. So we believe it will be the application of ESC for the truck will also be followed by the bus segment. Already we are expecting a draft regulation for the autonomous emergency braking as a next step of the safety. It is expected anytime soon, because this is the normal path globally happening. So we are partnering with many OEMs in India in this area and started the work with them. So that regulations will come. So ADAS, and we are also expecting that EBS and ABS will get adopted in most of the trailer segment. Trailer segment, we see a significant pick up in the technology adoption in the volumes, as with all this Gati Shakti and other major initiatives from the government. We believe the logistics sector will play an important role, and these technologies will come. And we are already started seeing in the trailer segment very good technology adoption, whether it's a lift axle system or it's a ABS trailer ABS or a trailer EBS. Even the digital business in the trailer segment, we have already launched. We call it Trailer Pulse, essentially a hardware that is connected. From there, you collect all the data, again monitor the data, analyze the data, and try to help the fleets with the improved safety, efficiency, and operating margins. And in the area of digital business, we are also, there are opportunities for us to help the customers, essentially in this case fleets, to set up uptime centers, and they will be able to really manage that fleet uptime. Also, we have certain capabilities we are now building globally for orchestration. Orchestration is essentially you will be able to manage a fleet from a central command efficiently, all that. So that's a capability available with the Scalar. So all these things will drive our growth from now to 2027, let's say 2030. And on the electric domain, as I said, we have positioned ourselves as a key player for certain areas, like the electric compressor, ABS, and disc brake also we have applicated. So we are very well positioned to support the customers as the market evolves. Our rough idea, even though we don't normally give a guidance, but we are targeting about €1 billion type of sales in all these segments, including export, by 2030.
Got it. And in terms of your core products, right, which could be the entire braking system and the new things you are bringing in, right? Has it been, in terms of a market share in the last 3 to 5 years, do you see that your market share is intact, and even in the new line of business, you you would hold sway in terms of market share, and how is that shaping up, whether the Haldex or Norgremsys of the world are also ramping up in India? How do you see that?
Yeah. So again, we are strengthening our position. I would say because competition will always be there. New competitions can come. What we are doing is now becoming a part of setup, so we have much more competencies. Our investment on Oragadam and now Pune. There is a facility in Pune. If needed, we can use that also to support the footprint. All the possibilities there. So, if anything, I believe that at least we will retain our position. That's the view with which we are moving, because or in some cases we further improve as well.
Got it. Thank you so much. I'll get back into you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. So we have a follow-up question from the line of Vimal Gohil from Alchemy Capital. Can we take that question, please?
Yeah, yes, please.
Okay. Mr.
Yeah.
Vimal, please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for the follow-up opportunity, sir. Sir, just one clarification on PLI. You said that while the company is meeting the sales targets, the investment targets are are yet to sort of fructify. If you can just explain this in a bit more detail. My understanding is that the sales and the investment targets should go in tandem. If I'm wrong, please help me correct that. And the second question would be the content per vehicle. Given the fact that we are talking of multiple products across the current ICE and the EV segment as well, would it be fair to say that our content per vehicle, which is around $550 to $600, that is expected to grow quite rapidly going forward? Thanks.
So on the PLI side, you are right. If you're talking about a greenfield product, investments and sales will have to go in tandem. But we already have been selling these, and we also are promoting the domestic value add percentage with minimal investments. But what we have as a commitment, and also as you would know, PLI requires a minimum commitment for the automotive component side. To meet the levels, we also have in the pipeline significant levels of localization, value add within the company, so on and so forth. And those are slightly long lead time, and they have a bit bigger gestation period as far as completing the investments. So that is taking time. It's not that while they have to go in tandem, but it is taking time to meet the levels as required by the PLI scheme. Hope it is clear.
On the content side, I've been spending time to explain there's so much of pipeline of technologies that we have brought to India, working with customers. Many of the customers have released, but the actual content is largely driven by the way the market will evolve. More of EV production will definitely support us, and of course the regulations and all those things will drive. But in principle, yes, our view is that now that it's an inflection point for adoption of technologies in India, so it should definitely support us on the content, achieve a rapid improvement in the content. Which in my view probably should start from the ESC regulation onwards.
Perfect. Thank you. And sir, lastly, just on the CAPEX, I missed that number for FY maybe 23-24. Total CAPEX we spent?
So for 22-23, we will be at the range of 104 crores. And the capitalization of the new factory and the assets associated with that will happen in 23-24, which will go anything like 250 crores overall put together.
Perfect. Thank you so much once again, sir, and wishing you all the best.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Annamalai Jayaraj for closing comments.
On behalf of BNK Securities, we thank all participants for joining the call. Special thanks to the Head of Commercial Vehicle Control Systems India Management, for taking time out for the call and giving us the opportunity to host the call. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
On behalf of Patliwala and Karani Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.